That's inside of us. That's what makes us do what sometimes we don't want to do. Well, what I'm going to talk about today was written by H.M.S. Richards. It was back in the 60s. But I'm going to substitute and put my name in there. The will is a terrific power. And most of you already know how powerful the will is. So I'm going to take you on a journey today. We're going to go to New York City to start with. Has anybody here been to New York City? Yeah, you know how big the buildings are and how bright the lights are and everything? Well, my journey starts out when I drive into New York City. I look at all these tall buildings and I think, how interesting it would be if I could go up to the top of the Interstate building and Empire State Building, I'm sorry, the Empire State Building and see all these lights from, I think the Empire State Building is like a little over a quarter mile high, which is pretty high whenever. It may not seem like much out here on the road, but you stand that up and it's pretty tall. Well, when you get up there, you can see all the lights. So I walk up to the elevator and I poke the button to go up to the elevator and I'm going up, 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 up. And it was the 66th floor. The doors opened and in come a man. A very impressive man, and I thought, well, I know who that is. He's a billionaire. And today, you know, and that was in the 1960s. Well, today you probably have to say trillionaire, zillionaire, or whatever. But anyway, he was a very, very wealthy man, and I recognized him. I didn't want him to know that I knew who he was, but so I just kind of glanced at the wall, and then I glance over at him, and we continued up. And we got up to the top floor, and I still wanted to impress him, so I made sure that when we got up to the top floor that he was the first one off the elevator. And he said to me, "Do you know who I am?" And I thought, well, I don't want him to really know that I know who he is, so I said, "Well, I think so." And I said, "You're a very handsome fella," trying to impress him, you know. And he said, "I got a proposition. Matter of fact, I got two propositions to make you. I'm going to give you $1 million, which is what I was hoping he would do, you know, whenever to start with. So he said, "There's two conditions that go with this. One, that you spend it all in 1 year." Well, today it wouldn't be too hard to spend $1 million in 1 year. But back in 1960, it'd go considerable more, cover considerable more things than it would today. So I said, "You got a deal." And he said, "Don't you want to know what the second condition is?" Well, I said, "Yeah, it can't be too bad." So he started telling me what the second condition was. The second condition was, now I remind you, that I'm going to spend all that money in 1 year. At the end of that 1 year, that I was going to meet him back at the Empire State Building at the top, and no money left. He said, "You have to jump off this building." He said, "Your money will be gone. You can't go hide. And if you don't jump off, I'm going to push you off." And I said, "You're ugly." And then I said, "I'm going back to the elevator and I'm going back down to ground level." Well, when I got on the elevator, I thought, "Do you reckon anybody really accepts that offer?" But on the way down on the 77th floor, the doors, the elevator stops and the doors open, and this man in dressed in white comes in the elevator, and I reluctantly, you know, to converse with people in elevators, I just kind of didn't say anything. And he said, "Are we admiring the lights in the city?" And I said, "Yes, I was." He said, "Well, I got a city that's more gorgeous than this city." He said, "You can go there if you like." And I said, "Well, how far away is it?" He said, "It's 105 trillion miles away." And, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, you know, we got airplanes that'll fly 500 miles an hour. How long would it take to get there at 105 trillion miles away? But anyway, of course, whenever he got on the elevator and we were talking, the elevator continued on down. Well, we got back down to the 66th floor and the door, it stopped again, and in walked a man dressed in black. And he had top hat on and very impressive, you know. And the elevator door shut, and we started back down again. And he was standing there taking in everything that the man in white was telling me. And he said, "I've got a city that's got bright lights and lots of fun things to do too." And the man in white, he just kind of let him butt in, you know, and I said to him, I said, "Well, how far away is your city?" And he said, "It's only about 4 hours away." I said, "4 hours away? Let's go." So he said, "We'll go to the airport and we can fly there, and about 4 hours we'll be there." So we continued on down, and we got down to the bottom, and as I walked out with the man dressed in black, the man in white disappeared down the street. He didn't tell me anymore, because I was listening to the man dressed in black. So we went to the airport, and we boarded the airplane, and in a matter of a few hours, we was in Vegas. How many of you have been to Vegas? Las Vegas. Well, the very first time I was there, I drove in on from the south side out of Arizona, and you come down this grade and you can see all the lights of Vegas, and you think, how beautiful that is. Well, this particular time we flew in on the airplane, and we come in and you could see all the lights from the airplane. And I thought, boy, I'm going to have fun here. So the first night that I was there, Las Vegas, I wandered around and he took me around and I seen all the sights, the hotels and the casinos and all the things there is to see there. And then eventually I got tired and I needed some rest. So I went to the motel and I slept till noon the next day because I was so exhausted. Well, the next day, I'm going to back up just a little bit. Back when, right at the very beginning, when that billionaire offered me $1 million, I wanted a Jaguar car. And Jaguars are very expensive cars. And I thought, boy, that $1 million or more than cover the cost of that Jaguar. Well, when I got to Vegas, I didn't have no $1 million. But as I was walking around Vegas that next day, admiring everything there was there, I come across this car dealer he sold Jaguars for $1 down and $1 a week. And I thought, wow, who can pass up a deal like that? So I got me that Jaguar, and I took off, and I went all over Vegas. And after I'd seen everything, been everywhere, the fun kind of started wearing off, you know. And I thought, I'm going to get out of this place. So I got in my Jaguar, and I headed out of town. And when I got outside of town, there was a four-lane road coming into Vegas. Most of you have been to Indianapolis, haven't you? Well, you know, there's four lanes of traffic going one way around Indianapolis on 465. Well, this road coming out of Vegas, all the traffic was coming in town, and there was no lines on it. But I thought, I got to get out of this place. And just as I got to the edge of town, I looked up there, and it said the name of this city, and the distance was 105 trillion miles away. I thought, I'm going to get there if it takes me, if it's the last thing I do. So I got into my Jaguar, and I headed her down the road going 90 miles an hour. I don't know how long it'd take. Anyone know how long it'd take to get 105 trillion miles at 90 miles an hour? You'd have to have a lot of gas stations, wouldn't you, along the way. But anyway, I took off, and I was headed away from that city of lights and attractions and all that stuff. And I was going 90 miles an hour. And the other traffic is coming towards me. And I noticed that there was hardly no cars going the same direction I was going. They were all going into Vegas. So I was, at times I had to slow down. I couldn't run 90 miles an hour because they was hogging all the road. And eventually I had to get off in the shoulder. And I was, that slowed me down to about 40 miles an hour on the shoulder. And one day, as I was headed down that narrow, or that broad road, here come a diesel truck, like Clyde's going to be driving next week, around me, and guess what side of the road he was on? I mean, he was clear over, running me off the shoulder even. And I'd run off in a ditch, and the rocks flew, and the dust flew. And then I surveyed the damage, and I got back on the road, and I headed off down that road again. This time, I started off at 90 miles an hour again. Pretty soon, I was down at 20 miles an hour and on the shoulder again. And around him in come another diesel truck, and he was loaded with hay. And he was bound on, he was determined to run me off the road again, or this truck was. And off the ditch I went. This time I was running a little faster, and I had a little more things messed up. And as I sat there in my truck, my car, I mean, contemplating what I was going to do next, I heard a tap, tap, tap on my window. Who do you think it was that was tapping on my window? I didn't know there was so around, and I have definitely hadn't seen no hitchhikers. Who do you think it was? It was that man in white. He said, "Do you want me to drive?" I looked at him, and I said, "Sure, you can drive." So I crawled in the passenger seat, and off we went. You know how fast we was going? 90 miles an hour. And the cars just, they got out of our road. We stayed 90 miles an hour, 90 miles an hour. Pretty soon, Here come another one, big Mack truck or these semis coming down the road. And I thought, I'll just stay over here. I'll let him take care of this. But we got closer and closer together, and that semi didn't budge. And I thought, we're going to collide. And I reached over and I grabbed the wheel and I turned it just as hard as I could. Of course, my driver, dressed in white, he didn't resist. He let me take over. Guess where we ended up at? Back in the ditch. We were all banged up this time. And while he was driving, I noticed that his sleeves fell down, you know, and I noticed he had large muscular arms. And I said, how'd you get so strong? And he said, I worked in a carpenter shop. And now he was going to get out and straighten the fenders on my car that was all banged up. So he fixed our car and he said, you want me to drive? I said, sure. So we got back in the car and we headed down the freeway at 90 miles an hour again. And the cars, they would just get over. Pretty soon, there was another semi come down the road. Black smoke rolling. He had a load of hay this time. And as he got closer and closer, I thought, I'm going to keep my hands crossed. I'm not touching that wheel this time. You know what my driver did? The closer we got that semi, remember we was driving a Jaguar, we increased our speed. I looked to where we was running, 120 miles an hour. And that semi was just getting closer and closer. And just before we hit that semi darted off. Here in the ditch this time. And as I glanced over there, I seen it was the man in black. So we continued on down the road and pretty soon we got up. Quite a ways down there, there was a fork in the road. And I said, that looks like an amusement park over there on the left. You know, it had all those things you like to do in amusement parks. And I thought, boy, I'd like to go there. But I thought, my driver won't stop there. So I said, you know, I'm going to ask him if he'll let me drive. So I asked him if he'd let me drive. And he said, sure, you can drive. So he slid over in the other seat and I took over. I wanted to see what was in that amusement park. So we veered off to the left and went around this curve. And you know what there was down there? There was a cliff and we drove right off it. I'd probably been killed, but he placed himself in front of me before we hit bottom. The car was a mess this time. I mean, you know, parts falling just everywhere. They scattered everywhere. And I said, how are we ever going to get out of here? And he said, I can put it back together. This man dressed in white. So he put it all back together. We got it all back, ready to go, got it all back together, and he said, you want me to drive? I said, yeah, you can drive. There wasn't. We got back out on the main road, and we took the fork to the right, and I said, where are we going? He said, we're going to this city. I said, you can drive all the way. But after a while, I got bored. And I said, but I think you can drive all the way. And I looked back over my shoulder and back over there where that looked like that amusement park was. There was smoke bailing up from it. It had caught on fire sometime during the time we were getting our automobile ready to go back, or I should say the man dressed in white was getting our automobiles ready to go back. And we headed down this road. It got narrower this time. It was a gravel road. And the closer and closer we, or the further and further we got down this gravel road, the rougher it got, more bumpy. But just, we were going up a slope, and just as we got almost to the top of the mountain, I could see glowing lights off in the distance. And just as we got to the top of the mountain, I seen the city that the man in white was talking about. It's the new Jerusalem that Jesus is going to bring down from heaven one day soon. I want you to think about this. Think about how broad that road is that leads to destruction, and how narrow the road is that leads to eternal life. And our closing hymn is, I wrote it down somewhere, 474, I believe. Father God, how great Thou art, how awesome is Your plan. Father, I pray that You will show each one of us how that we can submit our will to You and still be able to feel the freedom that only You can give us. Father, my prayer today is that everyone here in our church and everyone that we are praying for, Father, will submit their will to Your control. And through faith, we can have eternal joy in trusting Your ways and letting You lead out in our lives. We ask, Lord, now You be with each one of us for the remainder of this Sabbath day. Help us to keep it holy. Help us to witness to those around us. And we'll give You the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.